the contributions to earthquake relief efforts of the world's ham radio community. Writing in the FCC blog, De La Torre noted that in the aftermath of the earthquake, the amateur radio community in Haiti, the Dominican Republic, and elsewhere has dedicated the equipment and spectrum resources to the relief efforts. From the United States of America, we are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the KL7ION repeater, serving Anchorage, Alaska. The nominating period for the 2010 Amateur Radio Newsline Young Am of the Year Award is now open. Each year, we here at the Amateur Radio Newsline, in association with Vertex Standard Corporation, the makers of Yaesu brand ham radio gear, and CQ Magazine, combine to honor a ham radio operator age 18 or younger. This for his or her contributions to ham radio or to society itself through ham radio. It's expected that Vertex Standard will once again fly the winner to Huntsville, Alabama, where the award will be formally presented. Hotel accommodations as well as convention tickets are normally provided. CQ Magazine says that it will again treat the recipient to a week at Space Camp Huntsville as it's done in years past. Please note that if the recipient is unable to travel to the convention, Amateur Radio Newsline will attempt to arrange a special award ceremony where he or she resides. This might be at his or her school or in front of his or her amateur radio club. In this case, the trip to the convention will be forfeited by the recipient, but all other aspects of the award will remain. All nominations and materials required by the official rules must be received by Amateur Radio Newsline no later than midnight, May 30th. Both mail-in and electronic submissions are being accepted this year. Full rules and a downloadable nominating form are now on our website at www.arnewsline.org. Just scroll down until you see 2010 Young Ham of the Year Awards now being accepted and click on the word Here to download the directions and the form. We look forward to hearing from you. The FCC is in the process of making permanent the rules governing the Vanity Call Sign Program. As regular listeners are aware, late last year the FCC issued a notice of proposed rulemaking titled WT Docket 09-209 that seeks to amend the Commission's amateur radio service rules. This to clarify certain rules and codify existing procedures governing the Vanity Call Sign System, as well as revise certain rules applicable to club stations. Now interested parties may make comments on this notice of proposed rulemaking via the Federal Rulemaking Portal or the FCC's own website. Comments must be submitted by March 26, 2010, with reply comments due no later than April 12, 2010. The URLs to use are in this week's printed Amateur Radio Newsline report. A revision to the new Element 2 Technician Class Ham Radio Testing Question Pool released this past January 4th. This as the Question Pool Committee of the National Conference of Volunteer Examiner Coordinators says that after further review, it has found and corrected more than 50 minor typographical errors. Also, that it clarified the questions and answers, making them easier to understand. These changes are now incorporated in a revised Element 2 question pool that contains some 400 questions. 35 are selected to make up any given Element 2 exam. And in a departure from past Element 2 question pools, this one contains graphics and diagrams. According to the NCVEC, the errata list, as well as the revised technician question pool, is available on the organization's website at www.ncvec.org. This new Element 2 question pool becomes effective for technician class examinations administered on or after this coming July 1st and will remain valid until June 30th, 2014. A new group with government support is targeting all forms of distractions while driving. And while amateur radio is not yet in its gun sights, hams will want to keep a close eye on this one as we hear from Frank Haas, KB4T. Frank.
The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration has teamed up with the National Safety Council to form a new organization whose mission is to end distracted driving. This through the creation of a new organization called Focus Driven, the first nonprofit organization to combat distracted driving and provide support for victims of distracted drivers. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration defines distracted driving as any non-driving activity in which a person engages that has the potential to distract him or her from the primary task of driving and increases the risk of a crash. It notes that there are three major types of driving distraction: visual, manual, and cognitive. This means any activity that causes a driver to take one's eyes off the road, one's hands off the steering wheel, or one's mind off driving. While distracted driving has always been a safety issue, now with the advent of mobile communication devices and other mobile technologies, it has become what Focus Driven calls a growing epidemic. The group considers cell phone texting the most alarming behavior because it involves all three types of distraction. Other forms of distracted driving include driving while using a cell phone, changing a radio station, eating, drinking, talking to passengers, grooming, using a CD or MP3 player, watching a video, reading, using a PDA, navigation system, or other portable electronic device. Thus far, a ban against texting while driving has been enacted in 19 states plus Washington, D.C. and Guam. 6 states plus Washington, D.C. and the Virgin Islands have banned the use of all handheld devices for any reason while driving. Most, but not all, do have exclusions for users of two-way business communications. Some have extended that exclusion to amateur radio. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Frank Haas, KB4T, in Holly Hill, Florida.
The new focus-driven organization is said to be modeled after the organization Mothers Against Drunk Driving. More is online at www.focusdriven.org. The Department of Transportation has announced an immediate ban on operators of trucks and buses on U.S. roadways text messaging while driving. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood announced the ban on Tuesday, January 26, saying that this is an important safety step and they will be taking more of them to eliminate the threat of distracted driving. Officials of the trucking and bus industry say they support the new ban on texting while driving buses and trucks. The president of the American Bus Association told the press that many bus companies already have similar policies in place. Drivers of interstate buses and large trucks who text while driving could face fines of up to $2,750. Secretary LaHood has been campaigning against texting and cell phone use while driving for some time. He says enforcing restrictions on texting by long-haul drivers will be difficult, and he's calling on the wireless industry to work with public officials to come up with a solution. Federal telecommunications officials are planning to hold the first nationwide test of the broadcast emergency alert system, but they have yet to set a specific date, and it will not happen until new regulations are in place. FCC rules currently provide for voluntary testing at the state and local level, but not nationally. The FCC has now issued a second, further notice of proposed rulemaking to change the rules governing the emergency alert system so as to conduct national testing at least once a year. The FCC is also proposing requiring a more detailed form for documentation from participating TV, radio, and cable operations. The information would be due to the commission within 30 days after the test, would be made available to the public. The agency is also asking for feedback on the equipment used to retransmit the EAS codes, which the agency says differs depending on the manufacturer. The American Radio Relay League has temporarily suspended its ARRL audio news operation. According to the league, the suspension was brought about by the planned introduction of the ARRL's new and redesigned website. It said that in order to do this properly, the league was suspending the ARRL audio news operations while it looks for solutions that will enable it to provide the technical, quality, and distribution channels expected of that organization. The latest newscast in the current ARRL audio news series was issued Thursday, January 28th. At our air time, the league has not set a date for the return of its audio news service. The Southwest Ohio DX Association will sponsor the 25th annual DX Dinner at the 2010 Dayton Hamvention on Friday, May 14th, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. The venue is the Crown Plaza Hotel in downtown Dayton. Program details and a list of the prizes will be available on the Southwest Ohio DX Association website as soon as both are confirmed. You'll find that along with information on reservations in cyberspace at www.swodxa.org. And the 18th annual Dayton Contest Dinner is now slated for Saturday night, May 15th, 6:30 p.m. local time. The venue is the Van Cleef Ballroom, also at the Crown Plaza Hotel in downtown Dayton. Master of Ceremonies will be CQ Magazine Contest Editor John Doerr, K1AR. Along with Doerr will be CQ Worldwide Contest Director Bob Cox, K3EST, who will formally announce the 2010 CQ Contest Hall of Fame inductees. Tickets are available only online at contestdinner.com, and the contest dinner is spelled as one word. And the famed Top Band Dinner at the 2010 Visalia DX Convention will be held Friday, April 16th at the Convention Hotel. That's the birth room at the Visalia Holiday Inn in Visalia, California. This year's dinner speaker is Bruce Butler, W6OSP. He'll present the program, The Low Bands from K4M Midway. Dinner is buffet style and costs $36. For reservations, email WB6RSE at his QRZ.com address. And for those of you not aware, the term top band refers to 160-meter operation. This is Ham Radio News for today's radio amateur. From the United States of America, we are the Amateur Radio Newsline, with links to the world from our only official website at www.arnewsline.org and being relayed by the volunteer services of the following radio amateur. Amateur radio has lost a great friend and ambassador in the New Orleans and Southeast Louisiana region. Mike King, W5PY, lost his battle with cancer late Wednesday evening, January 27th. W5PY was a ham's ham. Mike served as ARRL Assistant Section Manager for the state of Louisiana since 2002 and was net manager for the Louisiana Traffic Net. Passing traffic was a passion for W5PY. He was also past president and past vice president of the Ozone Amateur Radio Club in Slidell, Louisiana, and was a regular net control for the club's weekly 2-meter net. Any visitor to club meetings was greeted by Mike at the door and introduced to everyone in the room. Mike also sent welcome letters to newly licensed hams, a friendlier guy you could never hope to meet. Even very late into his battle with cancer, he could be found at the door of his church greeting worshipers as they filed in. An intensely private man, Mike never complained or hardly ever even acknowledged his terminal illness. As a naval aviator, Captain King flew just about everything with wings, from fighters off of aircraft carriers to cargo planes and everything in between. Mike was awarded many medals and honors for his service in Southeast Asia, Grenada, and Vietnam. W5PY was stationed around the world and was assigned to the Vice Chief of Naval Operations Air Warfare in the Pentagon and Commander Naval Air Forces Atlantic Fleet at NAS Norfolk. After retiring from the military, he flew for Braniff Airlines and retired as a 747 First Officer flying freight between Miami and South America. W5PY was an Eagle Scout and 32nd Degree Mason. Sailing was a passion as well. He spent many hours sailing his Beneteau 321 on New Orleans Lake Pontchartrain from his waterfront home in Slidell. He was a volunteer for the First Baptist Church of Slidell, the Red Cross, Life Songs Christian Radio, and North Shore Regional Medical Center. He was very active during Hurricane Katrina, practically living at the hospital and spending countless hours at the hospital's ham station passing traffic. Mike was a fixture at just about every ham fest or testing session in South Louisiana and Mississippi, talking up the hobby, welcoming new hams, and spreading the word about the Slidell, Louisiana Ham Fest. I'll never forget the time he came up to me and introduced me to his girlfriend, who he called Crayola. Don, he said, I want you to meet Crayola. I call her that because she's colorful. I love to surround myself with colorful people, Don. That's why I like you so much. You and Crayola are about the most colorful people I know, and I wanted you guys to meet. That was Mike King, W5PY. He was a friend of ham radio and all he met. In the more than 10 years that I personally knew him, I never once heard him say anything negative about anything or anyone. He survived by his mother, sister, and brother, Joel King, KM5CA, all of San Antonio, Texas. He was interred at Port Hudson National Cemetery near Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Mike King, W5PY, was 62. And from the United Kingdom comes word that radio communications magazine VHF UHF columnist Norman Fitch, G3FPK, has also become a silent key. The Southgate News reports that Fitch was found dead at his home in Surrey, England on Friday, January 29. Back in April of 1989, G3FPK took over the VHF-UHF duties from Ken Willis, G8VR, when it was part of the spectrum analysis feature of the magazine. The column then became VHF-UHF News and eventually became the VHF-UHF column of today. Norman Fitch, G3FPK, is described as having been a keen operator on the VHF-UHF and microwave bands and had been writing for over 20 years. His friends say that he will be greatly missed. NASA plans to launch 3 CubeSats with amateur radio educational payloads late in November. The small research satellites will go into orbit for several universities as part of the agency's educational launch of nanosatellite mission. The satellites, called CubeSats because of their shape, come from Montana State University, the University of Colorado, and Kentucky Space. Montana State designated its satellite as Explorer 1 Prime in honor of the scientific discoveries of the Explorer 1 mission. Colorado's satellite is named Hermes with a mission objective to improve CubeSat communications through the on-orbit testing. But it's Kentucky's bird, called KYSAT-1, that is what the ham in the street is watching because it's believed to be the very first CubeSat ever to carry a 2-meter to 70-centimeter FM transponder. Truly a crossband repeater in space and one that could be accessed by most hams within its flight path. CubeSats are in a class of small research spacecraft called PICO satellites. They have a size of approximately 4 inches, a volume of about 1 quart, and weigh no more than 2.2 pounds. The University of Florida was selected as an alternate in case one of the 3 primary spacecraft cannot fly. Due to increased facility rental costs at the venue of the United Kingdom's Chesterfield Rally, the planners have decided to cancel all future events. They've been unable to secure another location with the same space and facilities in the region and apologize for any inconvenience to attendees and exhibitors who were looking forward to this year's HamFest. The group's website at www.chesterfieldrally.com is still online, and a new website at www.m0oct.com will carry details of future activities. At the request of Spain's National Ham Radio Society, the Spanish Director General of Telecommunications has permitted the use of 160-meter top band in certain contests. In all, some seven contest periods through the end of the year will permit Spanish hams the use of 1810 to 2000 kilohertz. A complete listing will soon be online at the Society's website at www.ure.es. In the X, word that EI6DX will be active portable 6W from Senegal in November. He'll concentrate on the lower bands in CW, QSL via RX3RC by the Bureau or direct, and look for updates via the web at www.ei6dx.com. The VB8 South Shetland Islands AO51 operation by XR9JA will be active through February 28th. This affair was originally planned for January, but had to be rescheduled. The operation is taking place at the Chilean Naval Base on Greenwich Island. QSL via T5JA, either direct or via the Bureau. 7Q7HB is again heading to the warmer climate of Malawi for a period of 3 months or so. His activity will probably be on the digital modes and on CW, QSL only, direct to G0IAS with sufficient funds for return cards. OH5SB, operating maritime mobile, will activate the wet squares of the Baltic on 2-meter SSB in summer 2010. His primary frequency on 2 meters will be 144.288 or 144.300, QSL direct to DL2SB. DK1AX will be active holiday-style portable EA8 from Tenerife in the Canary Islands through February 14th. He's using only QRP CW on 15, 20, 30, and 40 meters with an Elecraft K1 at 5 watts into a Kellerman dipole, primarily on the QRP frequencies. QSL only via the Bureau to DK1AX or direct with a self-addressed stamped envelope. His address can be found at QRZ.com. And lastly, UA3DJY is back in Dar es Salaam and is operating from the DIT Communications Club Station 5I3A until March 1st. He says that he'll try to be active on all bands with emphasis on 40, 20, and 15-meter CW and 17 and 15-meters SSB, QSL via RK3AOL. And finally this week, if you've ever dreamed of operating ham radio from the space shuttle, you may soon have your chance. That is, if you have a lot of extra bucks and a place on the ground to set one up as your ham shack. Graham Kemp, VK4BB of the WIA News, has the rest of the story from down under.
NASA has slashed the price of its shuttles to just 20.3 million euro. Discovery is going to the Smithsonian National Air and Space Museum, while Atlantis and Endeavour are up for sale. The delivery date is given as the second half of 2011, and shuttle main engines are said to be available for the cost of transportation and handling. So now we can truly say, watch this space.
For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4BB of WIA News, reporting from Brisbane, Australia.
One problem that might be a bit hard to deal with, if your neighbors think that your tower and beam are unsightly, imagine the protests that planning the Atlantis and the Endeavour in your back 40 might create. With thanks to Allen Labs, AMSAT, the ARRL, the CGC Communicator, CQ Magazine, the FCC, the Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, Radio Netherlands, RAIN, the RSGB, the Southgate News, and Australia's WIA News, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Our email address is newsline at arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website at www.arnewsline.org. You can also write to us or support us at Amateur Radio Newsline, 28197 Robin Avenue, Santa Clarita, California, 91350. For now, with Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF at the editor's desk, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW, saying 73, and we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2010. All rights are reserved.
Reflector 9126, link clear.
Auto connecting.
Node number 9126. Reflector 9126, link clear.
Welcome.
Net tonight at 8:30. Welcome to the W2VL repeater.
Activity time out.
Reflector 9126, link clear.
Auto connecting.
Node number 9126.
Welcome to the New England Reflector, 912.
Channel 6.
Net tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.